This is Twit.
So Google broke the audience and the press when it showcased its duplex technology on stage at Google I.O. a few months ago. That's the technology that Google has tested on businesses that can carry a normal human conversation with convincing non-robotic voice characteristics and occasional utterances like and that sort of stuff. So it's only right that the press should get to break Google Duplex. Joining us is the man who claims to have done just that. Welcome to the show, Sam Rutherford from Gizmodo. How you doing, Sam?
Hey, how's it going? Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Really appreciate you taking the time. So first of all, Sam, we need to kind of fill in some of the blanks. It seems like out of nowhere, very suddenly, an embargo lifted yesterday that revealed that a few select individuals, yourself included, were invited to check Duplex out for yourself. So how did this kind of all come about?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, you know, what their criteria was for picking the people to, you know, attend their demo. But earlier this week at a Thai restaurant in New York City, they kind of hosted like a more in-depth briefing about, you know, what Duplex is after they showed it off at Google I.O. Because, you know, they at the show, they only showed like a quick snippet. And like, you know, there were so many like reactions and takes that came out of that, where I think they wanted to have a chance to kind of talk more about what Duplex is and get more in depth with a lot of the details and answer a lot of questions that people had.
So it sounds like members of the press, yourself included, got to actually be close to, if not kind of interact with it to some degree. How on earth did you break it? What did you do?
So the setup they had was, you know, they kind of rented out a Thai restaurant, and then they had Duplex call the restaurant's phone line, and then they gave the journalists there a chance to go in and talk to it and kind of play the role of the restaurant host while Duplex tried to make a reservation. And they were even doing things like taking requests for like party size or time and date from the people who were in attendance. And then, you know, just so that we had a sense that, oh, this isn't something that was like a completely canned demo. Like, you know, it was definitely reacting to the people at the briefing.
So you said that even though you broke it, you were still suitably impressed. What impressed you about the technology?
Yeah. So, I mean, so the way I kind of tackled trying to break Duplex, because, you know, four other people went before me and they all, you know, added a little twist that you would, some people would ask about allergies. Other people would, they would ask, you know, I can't do this day, but can you do some other day? And, you know, they all had successful reservations. So what I wanted to do is, whatever Duplex asked to make a time, I would say the restaurant was closed then. And then what impressed me the most is the way that Duplex was able to respond to understand our, like, how we were talking to it, and then, you know, take those curveballs and, you know, make something that worked. And eventually it did make a reservation, although it did have to have the help of a human operator.
Yeah, and that's a really important piece that I don't think we knew until this experience yesterday.
And everybody was running about this. I didn't know that either until that event.
So, okay, so did Google give you any sort of background indication as far as how the human involvement will run in this? Because it's my understanding that when you're talking about the millions of queries that could go through, you know, once this hits everybody's phone, all the potential users, I mean, even if there's 99.5% success rate on this stuff, that remaining amount is still an insane amount of help in the form of human users. So, do you have any indication or any idea how Google might be planning to tackle that?
And so I think that's kind of the whole point of this demo and, you know, just kind of getting the news out there that they are going to start rolling Duplex out in public. However, they specifically said it's going to be very limited users, very limited amount of businesses that will be participating in Duplex because, like they said, they only have about an 80% success rate right now. So they really have to kind of, you know, use those human operators to not only monitor calls, but step in the event that there is something that, you know, flummoxes Duplex.
Sure.
So we should say that the reason we're not playing your demo was they wouldn't let you record anything. So
yes. I was really hoping to record some video because, you know, it would have been great to have that, you know, on-site footage. But, you know, I guess they weren't prepared for that.
Yeah. And so what if a restaurant doesn't want to have the Google's robots, like, unleashed upon their hostess or host or staff at all? Like, can they say, like, no, thanks?
Yeah, that's totally reasonable. And Google is very clear that Duplex will be an opt-in service. They showed like some sort of web form where, you know, it was a click checkbox where, you know, restaurant owners or whoever could go and say, oh, we want to be part of Duplex or not.
And that prepares them ahead of time, because I know that there's another change that I know when I saw Google, the Google I/O experience and really thought about it in you know, the few hours after it, when everybody was just kind of shocked about what they saw. Mm-hmm. What I realized is, you know, anybody receiving that call doesn't immediately know that it's a robot, doesn't immediately know that in some way, shape, or form their audio is being captured on a server somewhere or whatever. Google made a change there. And so that kind of ties in with that, right?
Oh, yeah. They specifically, you know, as soon as Duplex calls, there's a little warning that says, hi, I'm Google's automated phone service. I'm here to make a reservation on behalf of whoever. And that's the first thing you hear when Duplex calls you. So that immediately you kind of, it sets the premise for what's going to happen. And you're not worrying about like, oh, man, is this some like creepy AI who's like, you know, might be doing something harmful or not? It's like, you know, it's very clear and straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Did it sound creepy when you were talking to it?
I don't think creepy is the right word. It's definitely very convincing. Although I noticed that after like watching like three or four people, you know, talk to Duplex, those ums and ahs, which sounded like supernatural the first time you saw it, it actually started to become repetitive when you hear it's like, you know, Duplex would call. And the first thing it would say before it even said a word, it would say, and it would do this every time at the beginning of each call. And it's like, oh, it's like programmed human kind of copying.
Yeah.
And so it was really interesting to see, you know, what they, how they went to attack that solution.
Yeah. And instead of needing to disclose it up front, all they have to do is assume that if you hear the very first word is you know you're mm-hmm. talking to a robot, right? I mean, it's so obvious.
I don't know.
Yeah. And it's interesting because they said that those ums and ahs were something that they installed to help bring up success rates. Because when, you know, the computer does sound very robotic, they would have people just hang up the call in the middle. And so they wanted to, anything they can do to keep the conversation going. And it's the same thing as like, you know, if you ask someone, oh, is 7 o'clock ready? Is 7 o'clock a good time? You know, the host has to maybe go check a book or look up a computer. And so they would have Duplex say, as a way to like remind the person who's talking to Duplex that there is still someone on the line. It might not be a person, but someone's listening.
Yeah, some sort of a signal of confirmation. Like, I got you. I'm waiting for you. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere. So who is going to get the chance? You said it was a limited rollout. Is the idea that ultimately this is going to be available to all users of Google Assistant? Would be embedded into the assistant experience, or is this going to go into maps and places tied to, mm-hmm. to businesses? Where are users going to find this?
I think that's the end goal, is to bring Duplex and build that feature into the Google Assistant. So it'll be available on your phone, your tablet, your Android TV box, anywhere, you know, you'd normally use the Google Assistant. However, you know, there's no specific timetable on like a full public rollout. Right now, they're just kind of trying to get Duplex out into the wild so they can get more feedback on it. And they said that they still wanted to evaluate, you know, how businesses respond to it and how useful it is, and then obviously make any improvements where they can.
Will it be available on my assistant app on my iPhone?
They didn't have any iPhone devices there. I would assume so, because it's the same Google Assistant across everything, so I don't see why not.
And so were the voices that you spoke to female voices or male voices or both?
Yeah, it was the standard Google Assistant voice, although it had, you know, seen a little bit of improvement to add those ums and ahs and other sorts of natural language cues.
Yeah, and I think you can, well, yeah, there's a female and a male voice in Assistant mm-hmm. and all different types. So maybe that's probably determined by the assistant that you have running on your phone. I'm not really quite sure. Did this feel to you like one thing that I was kind of wondering about is they came out of Google I/O with this announcement. And then I feel like Google saw a lot of pushback from a lot of people that were very critical over how this could be, you know, manipulative and used in a negative sort of
robot
way.
Robot apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. All the typical things we talk about when we talk about AI taking over the world. Did this feel like a mea culpa event, or did this seem like a standard promotional kind of like, hey, let's let the press in on something cool, or did it really feel like like, all right, we realized we came off on the wrong foot before, so we want to do this again to set the record straight?
Yeah. I don't know if it was quite an admission that they made a mistake. I just think that they were very cognizant that the demo that showed at Google I.O., you know, had a lot of people just instantly speculating. And sure. So they were just trying to get more information out to, you know, obviously calm some people who are worried about, you know, our incoming robot overlords. But also, you know, try to, like, you know, seed some of those details and kind of just get people, maybe just the general public, more aware that stuff like this is coming.
Yeah.
Does it strike you as odd that they're focusing so much energy on this? Or maybe it's not so much energy, we're just focusing a lot of time on it, but on something that's sort of going by the wayside anyway? I mean, you know, most of us don't make phone calls. There's very, very few mm-hmm. phone calls that we need to make anymore, restaurant reservations, like sometimes appointments, but mostly everything's, you know, through an app. Is it strange that they're spending so much time with going backwards a little?
One thing that they were very clear on is that, like, Duplex is just one piece of the puzzle. You know, so right now, you know, you can already make a reservation using Google Assistant. You just have to might do it through something like the OpenTable app. So this is kind of just adding one more way to automate things that you might want to do anyways. And then on top of that, Google said that out of small businesses, only 40% of businesses have some sort of online reservation system. So there's still a ton of businesses out there that just rely solely on incoming phone calls.
Yeah, so it ends up saving the user the need to make the antiquated, in air quotes, telephone mm-hmm. call. But the business might be the only way that you get through to them, is either to walk in or go through the phone.
Yeah, and they also said added things about, you know, this is also helps people with accessibility, or it also helps, you know, tourists who are, you know, might be visiting a new country. You know, they can make a reservation in Google Assistant using their own language and then have Duplex call and speak English to, you know, whatever restaurant that they are at.
I hadn't even considered that. That's a really good, use case. Did your experience leave you optimistic about artificial intelligence? What did you think coming away from it?
I definitely had a positive experience on that, because, you know, they also showed that, you know, making these individual skills. So Duplex currently will have, or is planning on having, three skills: one to check holiday hours, one to book restaurant reservations, and one to make hair appointments. And they said that in order to develop each of these three skills, there was a ton of human interaction where they're annotating calls and then, like, doing hands-on touches to the algorithm to make sure that Duplex was functioning correctly. So it's not something where I'm at all worried about, you know, this AI is going to develop into something that's going to run away and start, you know, taking over other AIs, and, you know, that's going to be where Skynet starts. Not at all. So I'm definitely positive. And it said they were, you know, they were pretty focused on, you know, we want this to be beneficial to both businesses and users. And if it's not, then they're going to have to, you know, rework something or figure out what they need to fix.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Sam Rutherford with Gizmodo, gizmodo.com. Sam, where can people follow you online?
You can follow me on Twitter at Sam Rutherford.
Right on. Sam, thank you so much for jumping on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, take care.